is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 24th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous Monday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. We appreciate you being with us. We got a lot to get to on this November 24th as we are approaching an end, actually, the final week of November. Think about that for just a moment. The final week of November. A week from today is December 1, right? And so it's a loaded week, man, of college basketball. I mean, we got it on in the studio right now. College basketball, college football, just a ton to get to. Rivalry week is here, the best week of the year for college football outside of, course, postseason play. We're getting to all of that and a whole lot more. But Christian, happy Monday, sir. How are you on this very nice and somewhat warm Monday afternoon?
Man, it's a great day. It's a great day we're going to have on the show. We had a really fun weekend. We got to go and play a little golf this weekend.
Yeah, we did.
And,
it was fantastic.
Shout out to Mr. Goins, the score. Man, we're continuing to work it down.
Yeah.
We're working it down.
It's crazy what happens when you can hit a ball in the fairway off the tee box.
Yeah, when you actually look forward to the drive.
Yeah.
And we might try and go later this week, and Christian's just going to be full-time caddy.
There's a chance. We're
going to try and break a record that Jacob has not shot yet. And so
we're going to break 100, baby.
I was going to say, the way that I said that made it sound like it. No, we are going to break 80 with Mr. Jacob Goins.
Yeah, I'm trying. 80 watch, baby.
Would that be the first time? Would it be?
I think so.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
So that's what we're gonna have to try and find a little bit of time. But, no, it is a hectic week, a chaotic week, but we wouldn't want it any other way. And the same thing for the show here today as well. We're going to fire some people up on the positive side of things. We're going to fire some people up just in general. And we may fire up a couple people on the negative side of things as well today, because that's our job, to tell you the good, to tell you the great, to tell you maybe the not so good, and also to bring you back down to earth a little bit. And we plan on doing that here on the hour and 38-minute edition of On the Line here on this Monday afternoon.
Yep, phone lines are open today if you want to be a part of the show. You absolutely can be, and we want you to do so. 334-321-1390. Again, that number is 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We're about to get to the phone lines to start the show, but as Christian mentioned, a little bit shorter today. We're going on and going off the air actually about 336, 337, somewhere in there, as Auburn women's basketball is playing this afternoon. They're taking on UTSA. So we'll have that broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7. Britt Bowen on the call, Christian Griffin in the studio, halftime.
I'm not moving from this chair.
You better get comfortable, brother.
This is my spot for the next,
5 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But with that, okay, with Auburn women's basketball going to be here on ESPN from 3:45 to you know, 6 or 6:15. The drive today is going to be over on Wings 94.3. Okay, that's one of our stations here at the Auburn Network. The drive will be on Wings 94.3, same time from 4 to 6. That'll lead into Tiger Talk from 6 to 7, and then the men's basketball broadcast against Oregon at 7 p.m., all that on Wings 94.3. So we'll remind you and tell you those things as we go, but we've made this guy hold on long enough. Let's get to the phone lines. Now they're open for most of the show today. 334-321-1390, and we kick off the Monday edition of On the Line with Doug from Gordo, Alabama. What's going on, Doug? How are you?
Oh, doing fine. How are y'all today?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you holding on as we got the show kicked off. What's going on?
Hey, I just had a couple of questions, and then I'll just hang up and listen if that's okay.
Sure.
The coaching search, do you think within a few hours or the next day will we possibly know something? And then the main reason I called is because you used to could go into Neville Arena and watch the game. Do you think they'll have that open this weekend, or they don't do that any longer?
That's a good question, Doug. We appreciate that, and we'll answer both of those questions. Again, really appreciate you holding on for a few minutes, and definitely want to address both of those. We'll start with the second question first and then go to the coaching question. I don't know about the Neville Arena thing. That would be cool. I know they do some tailgating things in Neville Arena, right, for people who can rent out some of those lower suites and things that people can go in there and tailgate and be a part of that if you pay for it. But in terms of the watch party at Neville Arena, that I don't know. I am going to assume no, just because it's a home game.
That's what, yeah.
I think they've done that for road
Correct.
Games before, but if somebody listening knows more on that than I do or we do, shoot us a text, 334-784-1067, and we'll obviously stand corrected if that's the case. But my feeling is with it being a home game, Doug, they probably will not have a watch party inside of Neville Arena. Again, I could be wrong, and I'll try to find some more information on that.
There is, I looked up Neville Arena watch party for the Iron Bowl. There is, according to Crimson ATI, there is one in Cincinnati, Ohio.
All right.
For whatever you care to do with that information. So
Heck, just go
see Jacob's parents and go watch Ohio State and Michigan, and then go up there and drive a little bit further and go to Penn State, his favorite place on the world in the world, and make yourself a pretty good Jacob Goins weekend.
Hey, man, if you listen to this show, you know that Cincinnati, Ohio is one of my favorite places in the world. I love Cincinnati. That place is so much fun. And I've said this, too, forever. If I was not born an Auburn fan and grew up cheering for Auburn, even living in the North, if Auburn was not a part of my life, I would have gone to the University of Cincinnati.
You would have been a Dayton basketball fan, but a Cincinnati football fan.
Possibly. Hey, Dayton Flyers are fun, man. Dayton Flyers are great. No, I would have gone to Cincinnati, no doubt. I would have been a Bearcat, for sure. That place is awesome. I love it. But
answering the first question that we are now getting to, secondly, John Cohen's always said that he has wanted, ever since this coaching search started, that he wanted to have an answer by the Sunday, if not the following Monday after the Iron Bowl. It draws a little bit more of a gray area now, just based off of the coaches that are in this search of the college football playoff. And especially now with Tulane scheduled to be that G5 team, we don't know if, say, again, this is just in this story of Christian saying that Sumrall gets the head coaching job. Does Auburn make a statement saying Sumrall will be the next head coach, however, we're going to let him coach the playoff games? Or does Tulane say anything? Is this an NDA? And then if Tulane loses in the first or the second round, then that next day there's the following statement. There's a little bit of gray area on that sort of things. Things change a little bit more if Tulane doesn't make the playoff, or if there's another name that you feel jumps Sumrall in that conversation.
Well, I think, too, that there are several names that Auburn is going after that could be involved in the playoff scenario that Christian just laid out, whether it's Sumrall or a couple of other names. I think Auburn could be in that situation for more guys than just John Sumrall. But, like you said, there absolutely could be an announcement and then some time separation between that announcement and when that coach shows up, right?
Which is tough because, again, Cohen wanted it to be the Sunday or the Monday following the Iron Bowl. You get him on campus. You get him to work. So that way everybody knows who the next head coach is. That way early signing period and then the transfer portal can go as smooth as possible.
But if you're John Cohen, you had to know that this was an obstacle you were going to have to deal with.
And you feel like you would be okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Congrats. Your next coach is still playing football right now.
It's a pretty good sign,
yes.
If you ask me. So looks like we have another phone call. Again, phone lines are open pretty much the entire first hour,
yes,
of the show. We are shifting some things around. Jacob Hillman will join us at 3 o'clock today rather than 3:30 from the Auburn Sports Network, with our show ending right around 3:30 to go to our Auburn women's basketball coverage with Britt Bowen against UTSA. But we have another phone call to get to.
We do. 334-321-1390. If you want to join the fun, join the conversations. And we go to Shane. You're on the line. Happy Monday, sir.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Hey, realistically, why is everybody so high on Summerall? I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not opposed to the guy. Just
sure.
Trying to figure out what is it about him that everybody's just, you know, this is the next best thing right now.
I think the easy answer is obviously when you look at record, right? When you saw what he did at Troy, then made the jump to Tulane, and now you're seeing what he did in 2 years in Louisiana. I think it makes a little bit of a conversation that drives a lot of the conversation. I think also the way that he coaches, I think you see a lot of, you can't say the Saban, because that type of coaching doesn't work in today's era of college football, but I think you see a little bit of that hard, you know what, and the drive and the players coach, at least from the standpoint on the field, that leads to a lot of the success as well. And with it being a coach that a lot of the fans know in the state of Alabama, and you saw that success, I think that leads a little bit of that drive as well.
So realistically, what do you guys think that the top two candidates are? Is it Summerall? And tell me it's not Day or what's the guy's name from Vanderbilt?
Clark Lee.
You
and I may be differing on this, Christian. I think Clark Lee is still a legitimate candidate for Auburn. I believe that.
I think it's legitimate, but I haven't heard anything new.
I would say my one and two, I guess not my one and two, I would say the one and two in no particular order is John Summerall and DJ Durkin. I think that's where Auburn is zoned in on right now, but if Summerall takes a different job or doesn't leave at all or whatever, then you have the DJ Durkin possibility. But if you're Auburn, you have to have a wider view than that, if that makes sense, which is why I think somebody like Clark Lee or Eli Drinkwitz or somebody else could be in that landscape in case Auburn gets turned down for whatever reason.
Okay. Defensive mind, which is what I wanted. I wanted a defensive coach in there because the offensive, you know, we the last, I don't know, three have been offensive coaches, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it hasn't ended well for it hasn't begun well for two of the three, and it didn't end well for Gus either. But so if it's a defensive minded coach, what are your thoughts on who the OC would be? I mean, are we keeping, if it's Durkin, are we keeping dude that's there now? Because it seems like when he doesn't have any chains on his wrist, he's actually, you know, the last two games have been like, wow, that's what we had.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that you were so scared that you might make a mistake. So is it that guy, you think? Will he get a chance if it's Durkin? And then if it's Summerall, which I agree with you, I think it's down to those two, and then if we're going offensive-minded, I still think Dillingham might be in there. But who would be the OC for the other guy? And I'll hang up with those guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Shane. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I'll say this. Okay, if Auburn is thinking a defensive-minded head coach, that's John Summerall. Okay, that's the guy who in his coaching career has been a defensive line coach, a co-defensive coordinator, a defensive line coach, a linebackers coach, an inside linebackers coach, and then has been a head coach twice. You're talking about a guy that's defensive-minded. Yes, Tulane has a good offense. They have. Troy had good offenses. I mean, but you're talking about a guy that comes from the defensive side of the football. Then to Shane's point, okay, who is your offensive coordinator? And if Auburn's offense looks like it has life this weekend against Alabama, I think there's a legitimate conversation, like he just said, that Derek Nix deserves a shot without Hugh Freeze breathing down his neck.
I agree.
I think there's a legitimate conversation. There may be some people that are just, I don't know, burned, maybe. What's the word? There's some people that are hesitant and maybe just they've checked out on him. They've already convinced themselves that he's the problem.
I think that's more so because he was Freeze's right-hand man, so they naturally tie Nix into the poor offense that Freeze ran.
And I'll admit that I spoke that way before we saw the first game for Auburn without Hugh Freeze. We had conversations on who was going to replace him.
Which, whether that's harsh or not, you can have your own opinions, but naturally that's the case when he has the title of offensive coordinator, but now you're seeing an offensive coordinator be an offensive coordinator and call offensive plays because there's not four or five different people that have a say on every single down. And, you know, I can call this one play, but, you know, if the head coach doesn't like it, he can fire from the hip and call off plays that Auburn hasn't practiced in 3 months. And then you have to sit there and wonder as a fan, whether you're inside Jordan-Hare Stadium or you're watching on your TV, of why does this offense look like it has no idea of what it's doing? Because it didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So if John Summerall or somebody from the outside is hired as Auburn's next head football coach, we have talked about ad nauseum about you have to keep DJ Durkin. I don't care if you're a defensive-minded guy like John Summerall. It would be, in my opinion, just speaking truthfully here, it would be idiotic to let DJ Durkin walk away. I feel that strongly about it.
It would. It would be. We talked about this jokingly, I think, on the drive to go play golf. Of you wouldn't hear it from the standpoint because it's coach to coach and not coach to player, but it would literally be like walking into Texas A&M and saying, all right, cool. Ah, man, I'm glad to be an Aggie. Marcel Reed, I know you're in the Heisman conversation, but I'm going to bring in my own guy, and I don't really want you to be a part of the program, so thanks, but peace.
Yeah, or I know you're good, but
yeah, Julian saying, I know that you're in the Heisman conversation, but you're a great quarterback, but you don't run things how I want it to be run, and so I'm going to bring in my own quarterback that's going to run things as well. Like, that is that same type of mentality. You just wouldn't hear it to that degree because it's a coach with a coach rather than a coach to a player when he makes some sort of change making that job.
But on the opposite side, again, to answer Shane's question before we get to break, talking about if a new coach comes in, yes, they need to keep DJ Durkin, in my opinion, but who is the offensive coordinator in 2026? I think Derek Nix deserves to basically interview or re-interview for his job, right? Because you want the head coach to come in and have his guys and trust the people on his staff. Nobody would blame you for stepping in and saying, I want to clean out and restart. That's what most coaches do. I think DJ Durkin has one of those asterisks next to his name because he's just so damn good that you're not going to get better than him, right? And so you make it work. But for Derek Nix, yeah, I think that's fair for the new head coach to step in and say, look, I know what happened with the previous head coach, but I've seen what you've done the last three or four games. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk this thing out. But if it's not Derek Nix, who are some other names that Auburn could go after? I have a couple, okay? I have a couple of offensive guys that we can name and talk about when we come back.
There's only one answer that's correct.
For you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is it a legitimate answer?
Yes.
Because I have one that I've said I wanted Auburn to hire as the head coach, but that's not going to work.
Oh, my answer initially, if it wasn't Joe Brady, it was Brian Hartline.
That was my answer, was Brian Hartline, but that's not legit.
That's not
happening.
No, there is one answer that is correct if DJ Durkin is not the head coach.
For the offensive coordinator?
Yes. There's only one answer.
For you? You really want Gus Malzahn back that bad?
I do. Actually, I want the interim head coach for Cal. Brian Harsin. I want.
Did he get the interim?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
I saw somebody say something about Cal needs to go and lose, and then Auburn needs to go and beat Alabama, and then let Brian Harsin get the interim tag for head coach at Cal, and then Auburn and Cal play in the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh my God! Yikes!
Make it happen.
All right. What's your answer?
The answer is Joe Kradic, the Tulane offensive coordinator, who was the Troy offensive coordinator when John Sumrall was there.
So they just move in succession. They just go with each
other. If Sumrall is the head coach, he brings his offensive coordinator with him. If Derek Nix is the head coach, or if DJ Durkin is the head coach, I think then there's more of the conversation of Derek Nix staying. I think that is where it gets too simple to have a legitimate question if Sumrall is the head coach of, well, who's going to call plays? I think he's going to bring the guy with him that's had success on that side of the football.
Yeah, and that feels like it would make the most sense. Somebody just texted us, Will Stein, the OC at Oregon. Love that. He ain't leaving Oregon, but I love that.
If that would be the case, then that's somebody Auburn would have to go get as a head coach.
Same way with the Brian Hartline.
Yes.
Like, those types of guys are not leaving one big job for another big job at the same position.
Leaving Oregon's OC to become Auburn's OC wouldn't even be a lateral move at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
It would be a step down.
I mean, I would say the same thing with Mike Shanahan, the OC at Indiana.
Sure.
The guy that's put back-to-back quarterbacks in a dang near Heisman race. I mean, those are dream scenarios,
yeah.
But they're not going to leave their P4 job as the offensive coordinator for another P4 job as the offensive coordinator. I couldn't believe when Jim Knowles did it last year, leaving Ohio State for Penn State to be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
that didn't make a whole lot of sense other than the money, and hindsight's 2020 now, but I bet he's regretting it, don't you? Because now he has more responsibility than ever, and Ohio State's about to win a national championship. So there are dream scenarios, and then there are realistic scenarios when it comes to the head coach, the defensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator for Auburn moving forward.
And I want to talk a little bit more about this, but funny enough, Shane's conversation leads me into a little bit of a statistical rant that I want to get to on the other side of the break.
We'll talk about it. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. We get back to the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition, Monday edition, segment two.
Wow.
It's a good bring back right there. Segment two of the Monday edition of On the Line. Was just so ready for it to be Tuesday for a reason that I'm not really sure of. I don't know. But
I can't help you, man.
No, but we're sitting here talking about the Auburn head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, all of those scenarios. And it's funny that Shane brought something up just talking about the defensive head coach, then who would be in at the offensive coordinator spot. And while we have just a couple of minutes, I spent some time this morning running a couple stats. And to be completely honest, it really fired me up and it pissed me off, to be completely honest. Over the last two games, Auburn has scored exactly 100 points. In the last eight quarters, 120 minutes, you scored 38 against Vanderbilt, and you scored 62 against Mercer. Now, I'm not a math major. I was a journalism major. But I'm pretty positive 62 plus 38 equals 100. So then I sat there and said, okay, wow, that was a lot of points. How far back in the season do I have to go, not including those two games, to add up to 100? You got to go back six games and 40 seconds. You have to go back 26 quarters and 40 seconds to match the number of points that Auburn put up in the last two games. 26 quarters. You have to go back to a Jeremiah Cobb touchdown run with 40 seconds left in the second quarter against South Alabama to total 100 points that you scored in the last two games. And now I know the immediate argument for that, and rightfully so, is, well, Christian, that was an SEC play. Obviously, defenses are a lot better, so you can't expect to score a lot of points. And I hear you. I do. But I counter with a couple of these other teams that have been pretty good at scoring the football. You look at Georgia in its last three SEC games. Not its last three games, because Charlotte is not in that conversation. But last three games in SEC play alone, they've scored exactly 100 points against Florida, Mississippi State, and Texas. You then look at Ole Miss, who has scored 98 points in their last three SEC games against Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Florida. The Citadel, not in that conversation. You look at Texas A&M, who has scored 118 points in their last three SEC games. Those are LSU, Missouri, and South Carolina. And if you want to look at Alabama, you have to go back four SEC games if you want to get over that century mark, with Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, and Oklahoma. Those four teams have scored 100 points or more in four or less SEC games that Auburn just did, and basically throughout SEC play as a whole. It is easier to score than ever, regardless of defensive talent, and reading those statistics and bringing that onto my Google Doc sheet made me sick to my stomach thinking about whatever it was that we had to watch offensively on Saturdays over the past 3 years.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, man.
26 quarters you have to tally for Auburn to score 100 points. But you go back to that offensive coordinator spot, and Derek Nix, in two games without being chained to the guy on the field, to the head coaching spot, he puts up 100 points in eight quarters.
With two different quarterbacks.
Shows that the system can sometimes just be really good. We talk about Auburn and Mercer a little bit more and maybe fire up some fans in that Auburn fan base. We talk about that coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines are open for at least the next 30 minutes or so on today's show. Again, a shortened program today. We'll end right around 3:30 or 3:35 as we... We'll be throwing it out to Texas as Auburn women's basketball taking on UTSA. They'll have some Feast Week action going on for you. So Britt Bowen will be on the call. Broadcast begins 3:45 with tip-off set for 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.7. So we will end a little bit early. We'll toss it to Britt, and he'll have a broadcast for you here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And The Drive with Bill Cameron, they will be on Wings 94.3 just today from 4 to 6. So if you're looking for The Drive, you'll be able to flip over to there and find that, Wings 94.3 and wingsfm.com. That'll lead right into Tiger Talk at 6 o'clock. That'll lead right into Auburn men's basketball at 7 o'clock against the Oregon Ducks. So we were originally not going to have The Drive, but we wanted to at least still have it and have a lot of sports coverage over on Wing. So we're going to do that today, again, from 4 to 6 for The Drive, and then Tiger Talk, and then Auburn men's basketball, while Auburn women's basketball is here on ESPN. But again, phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We'll have Jacob Hillman 30 minutes earlier than we usually do. We'll get him on the phone lines at 3 o'clock to talk Auburn basketball, talk the Iron Bowl, and a whole lot more. But we need to talk about what happened this past weekend, right? As Auburn takes down Mercer 62-17. And it looked a little dicey there early. All right, all of a sudden, Auburn was trailing against Mercer after Deuce Knight goes 75 yards on the opening play, which was pretty cool to see, right? Right by him, there he goes, and took off and did it again, and then again, and again, and again, and again. And it was awesome, and we're going to talk about that. Auburn's tied 14-all against Mercer at the end of the first quarter. Auburn blows it open in the second quarter, and the defense pitches a shutout the rest of the way. So, looking at the scoreboard, looking at the box score, 62-17 is what Auburn was supposed to do. And the defense showed up, did what they were supposed to do after the first quarter and limited one of the nation's best offenses in Mercer to just 17 total points, which is basically what they always do. They bend and they don't break. And then the offense, of course, looked fantastic with Deuce Knight. Jackson Arnold got in. Overall, a relatively stress-free day for Auburn.
It was, yeah. You obviously, excuse me, you saw Deuce go one play, 75 yards down the sideline, and what a cool moment it was for him. I mean, that's one of those, we talked about the Simon Walker, and Brad Law said that's one of those, you'll remember forever, like where you were on that yep. Simon Walker 5 for 5 nights. Especially if the future is Deuce Knight, you're going to remember where you were when you watched Deuce run down the sideline on the opening play of the game in his first career starts and go 75 yards to the house. Then Mercer puts together a nice little drive, as they do. Auburn has to punt, and Mercer does it again. That's 21 combined plays for 145 yards, eating up right around 10 minutes. And at that point, it was, okay, all right, there you go. You've seen Mercer's offense. Auburn, it's time to go score, which they do. 8 plays, 75 yards, and it goes right back to Deuce Knight for a 51-yard rushing touchdown. You then see the defense make a couple adjustments. It's 14-14. Auburn then goes 10 plays, 80 yards to go up 21-14. Mercer kicks a field goal. And at this point, you're sitting there going, okay, this could be one of those you need the football last mm-hmm. to win the game. Defense, please find a way to get us to stop. Auburn then goes down and scores, makes it 28-17. Auburn gets the interception and scores right before the half. And that swing right there was really what kind of, you don't want to say determined the game, because even at 35-17 at the halftime break, it looked good, but I don't feel like Auburn fans, us including that watched the game, said, oh man, if you would have told us after that we were up 18 points, I probably wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
Yet you saw the way the defense responded. You saw the way that the offense responded as well. And, man, just looking at these last two games as a whole, again, 100 total points in the last two games, this for me, and I know that this is Mercer, but it still stands true just because of the last couple of years on, even when you're supposed to dominate teams, you haven't been able to do it. It's the first time in forever I didn't feel uncomfortable if Auburn were to get into some sort of barn burner type of game, or we need the football last. And I know that, again, Mercer isn't that team that you should be having those legitimate conversations about, but when you see unity and you see consistency on the offensive side of the football, does it not take so much stress off your life?
Well, I mean, this does.
It's a 14-7 game for Mercer. And then afterwards, it's 35-17, and you just felt like the offense never flinched with anything that the defense decided to do or not to do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes from the confidence that it was Mercer, right, that you are talking about an FCS team, and I hate to be that guy, but it was also a game that didn't really matter, right? I mean, from a win-loss, you don't want to lose a game like that that you paid a school over $1 million to come in and play, which Auburn has done before. But I think that does take some of that off. Yes, knowing the offense actually can move the football and score when it needs to, knowing that the defense is going to buckle down, which they clearly did, and then a game that ultimately wasn't a huge deal to those outside of Auburn, right? All of that factors in, I believe, to, yes, it was a relatively stress-free day. And what surprised me, even though we watched the game, was looking at Deuce Knight's passing numbers after this game. Obviously, the 9 carries, 162 yards, 4 touchdowns on the day, that's what highlighted things for yeah. Deuce Knight, right? That's what everybody got excited about. But he was 15 of 20 for 239 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of them being to Mr. Cam Coleman, who, I mean, just cut his arm off and let him play one-handed, and he's still the best receiver in the SEC, maybe.
And that throw, too.
That throw was gorgeous.
That's not a, yeah, but that's Mercer. That is throwing that knowing that the safety is bracketed over, but he was about 3 yards too far to the left that he knew he had time to show off the arm strength, which we've talked about and will continue to talk about, of Deuce figuring out layering the football. But that was one of those times of, yeah, you got to throw the rifle, which is one of the few times in the end zone, because usually it's that fade ball or whatever where, man, if you put more air under the football, you give your receiver a chance. That couldn't have been that. You could not have thrown that more to the right arm of Cam Coleman, who went and made a contested grab and, I mean, just continues to put up a highlight reel in the back half of the season.
I was just kind of surprised to look at the final stats, because I walked away from that game saying the obvious about the rushing of Deuce Knight. And even after the first drive, it was the first play, rather. It was like, all right, that was cool, but
go put together a drive.
Right. That doesn't really show us what you can do leading the offense as the starting quarterback.
Sure.
And I walked away from the game, not disappointed by any means, but I didn't walk away thinking, man, what a great passing performance Deuce Knight had. But the numbers say otherwise. 15 of 20 for almost 250 yards.
Yeah, this was one of those games that if I would have told you that Deuce Knight was 13 of 24 for 150, you would have believed me.
I would have said, yeah, with a couple really good passes in there, the highlight to Cam Coleman.
And obviously that 91-yard passing touchdown to Malcolm Simmons
that helps
this number as well. But you go back and you look at it, and Deuce started 5 of 9. He finished 15 of 20. He went 10 for 11.
And he didn't turn
down
the football
the stretch.
Over.
Did not turn the football over. Threw for, again, 239 yards, but you even take that off that entire play. It's 14 of 19 for 140. It's not worth complaining about whatsoever.
Yeah.
And again, 6 total touchdowns. He was just announced the 24/7 True Freshman of the Week. We've known he was named the SEC Freshman of the Week and probably will continue to rack in the honors. But then there's a conversation that needs to happen for next week,
where there's a lot of Auburn fans, and maybe not even so much Auburn people.
And I guess this doesn't even need to be a conversation of comma, but this needs to be however you now look at the final game of the season.
It seems to be the conversation after Deuce Knight has a awesome, historical type of performance, right? It's, oh, man. Deuce Knight goes off against Mercer. Could we see him against Alabama in the Iron Bowl? Did he earn the starting spot?
You're talking about the
packages
outside mentality of
yes,
yeah. You even saw that last week of guys. Look, Deuce Knight was just named the starter at Auburn after all the quarterback struggles, and it's tell me that you have absolutely no idea of the scenario that was just going on.
We love Deuce Knight. And playing him on Saturday against Mercer was absolutely the right call. Not playing Ashton Daniels was correct call number one. Correct call number two was playing Deuce Knight. Correct call number three was pulling him after you had a big lead and let Jackson Arnold do what he wanted to do. He got the big rushing, scrambling touchdown as well, right? Everything in that situation was handled perfectly. But folks, Ashton Daniels is starting this weekend against Alabama.
And should.
And he should. There is a conversation that Deuce Knight earned himself the backup role, the oh crap situation role.
And that was confirmed by DJ Durkin on Saturday afternoon when they asked him about the Iron Bowl. After this quarterback and these quarterbacks, you just saw statistics. What do you want to see in the Iron Bowl? And we're going to get to the phone lines with Andy here in just a minute or two, or in just a second as soon as I finish up the thought. But that was even DJ Durkin who said, yeah, we're going to go back, we're going to look at film and see if he was able to capture the backup spot in the Iron Bowl. There's not some sort of conversation, and for once this should put Auburn fans at ease, that there's not a legitimate quarterback conversation or a quarterback battle going into the Iron Bowl. Ashton Daniels is your starting quarterback on Saturday.
Plain and simple. No doubt about it. 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, man. How are you on this Monday?
Hey, Wargo, good. Yeah, you called it last week with Deuce starting, and I like about these coaches, and I'll throw Nick's in this too, is the common sense stuff. And the last time I saw that was back when Cadillac was running the show, and we beat Texas A&M, and I was like, do we really need a coach? And I was like, oh, he's not ready. I'm like, yeah, but he's got a lot of the, you know, the things that you need to be a coach. He's probably missing the experience and all that, but, you know, we screwed up the Cadillac thing, bringing in Freeze, and then Cadillac did it to himself. But, you know, I like the common sense thing that these coaches are doing, and I hate this. I mean, I will hate it if we beat Bama and then we go bring in some coach and these guys leave. Like, but the reason I called is you're talking about Deuce, and I was there at the game, got to bring the family to Mercer, and someone donated some tickets to veterans, so I appreciate that. And that was really neat. We got to sit right where Deuce scored his first play of his first start.
Nice.
And that was awesome. But instead of being truly excited after his fourth touchdown, I started getting angry. And a couple years ago, I would never get angry. I'm like, man, we're going to have this great quarterback in a couple years, and it's going to be great. But now, these days, one of these quarterbacks isn't going to be here. You know, so I'm watching one of these quarterbacks that played this weekend or next weekend that are probably going to be playing on another team in the future. Do you agree?
I agree that that is a legitimate concern. I think okay. Auburn is in a situation, and honestly, and this may just be orange and blue glasses, I'm not sure, but I think Auburn right now, Andy, in terms of the quarterback spot and others on the team, right, because there's a lot of talent on that team, I think Auburn's in a unique situation that they have an opportunity to save a lot of the talent on this program. And quarterback, yes, right? And that's the hardest one because of the competition factor. And you brought that up in today's era, right, with NIL and playing time, and it's all about me, me, me. It's really hard to keep multiple good quarterbacks in the room because they know they can go play somewhere else. So your point is correct, and I think it is legitimate to have that concern. But weirdly enough, I think Auburn has an opportunity to save a lot of talent on this team, including several of those quarterbacks.
Well, we'll see. And I think with the right decisions and some smart moves, I think you're right with saving a lot of defensive guys. And I think we've talked about it where if some people leave, they'll take a lot of talent with them. And that's ridiculous to start all over. But again, the biggest thing was just with Deuce, because I liked him from day one, just like I liked Bo, and it really stung hard when he left and went somewhere else. I mean, it really stung hard. And then the stings kept on coming with, you know, Heisman candidate and Oregon doing great. And I just, again, I went from like super excited, like, oh my God, it was great, Deuce is doing it, to like, you know, like I said, who am I going to be watching him score with
sure.
in 2 years from now? So, all right, boys, Oregon, and let's have a good Thanksgiving and Iron Bowl.
Yep, appreciate the call, Andy. 334-321-1390. And that doesn't speak to Andy, that doesn't speak to Auburn fans, that speaks to where we are in college sports is, oh, great. We just had a guy go off for a really good game. Now the whole world knows. And all it takes is a phone call
yeah.
for him to go somewhere else. And like I said, that's not just Deuce Knight. That's anybody on this roster. That's anybody on anybody's roster, unless you're at Ohio State, right? Those are about the only guys that are untouchable, it seems like.
Even then, there's still a weird conversation, which that right there goes to show you the exact reason of why spring games don't exist. Because if Deuce Knight did that in the spring with the spring portal open,
he did kind of have a good A-Day game.
He did, but it was still nothing compared to, because Auburn didn't have the traditional
sure.
A-Day game, but it was not televised. They didn't allow recordings of it and everything, because if Deuce had anything remotely close to that, any of these teams that don't have a solidified college quarterback, hey, man. You up?
Now, Andy, I want you to take the feeling you had at the game on Saturday and put yourself in the shoes of a head coach nowadays.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about these guys getting paid, these coaches making $7, $8, $10, $12 million a year, right? That's a lot of money. And you can argue if that's too much, too little, whatever. But that's a daily stress that they have. You have to wake up every single day and hope that other coaches and programs are not secretly calling your players. Because they are, but you just have to hope it's not going to happen and burn you. And that it doesn't, that one of your guys doesn't get convinced to leave. Right? And so, I get it. I totally understand the concern. But I firmly believe, as we get to our final break of the hour, I believe that Auburn is in that weird place because it's Auburn, because people love it here, and Auburn is competitive in terms of NIL, and you bring in a new coach, and it's a whole new start, right? I think Auburn has a chance to save more talent from this year's team than people give them credit for.
I agree, and especially even more so at the quarterback spot. I think you fight for Ashton, and I don't think that he necessarily has any aspirations to leave, and I think you fight like hell for Deuce. I think if there's one name in there that could possibly see the door and not even have hard feelings, just one of those situations that is genuinely just unfortunate, would be Jackson. Just because of any freshman quarterback that you bring in, if that's foul zone or if that's somebody else that flips on signing day or whoever that may be, and then whoever the next head coach is, if he brings somebody else in, then you have that true three, if not four, quarterback battle to take place throughout the entire fall and spring camp.
Plus all the other positions as well. All right, let's get to our final break here in the first hour of the show. We'll come back, talk quickly about basketball, then we'll get to our top of the hour break. Jacob Hillman joins us at 3 o'clock today, not 3:30, since we're ending the show early. We'll have Jacob Hillman and more coming up next here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, we got about, 60 seconds or so before we got to take our top of the hour break. And again, a condensed show today. We are ending early, around 3:30, 3:35, as Auburn women's basketball playing UTSA this afternoon. UTSA today, and then they play on Wednesday as well, right? Auburn women's basketball does?
Yes. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday. Today's game's at 4. The Wednesday game is at 6. Right here on ESPN 106.7.
Yep, so both of those coming up. But, yes, we'll have women's basketball today. That'll be, again, 3:45 start, broadcast start, 4 o'clock tip. Christian Griffin will be in the studio for that. Britt Bowen will have the call. And then the drive will be over on Wings 94.3 today only. All right, the drive from 4 to 6, Bill Cameron. Those guys will have you on Wings 94.3 from 4 to 6. That'll lead into Tiger Talk from 6 to 7. And then Auburn men's basketball against Oregon at 7 o'clock. All that on Wings. So a jam-packed afternoon, evening on Wings 94.3 and a loaded day on ESPN as well.
And ending hour number one, for those that have not seen it, mark your calendars for October 10th, 2026. As Zach Bryant coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah. The first part of the concert series.
You've heard a couple of the Neville Arena ones. The first one in Jordan-Hare should be a really cool event.
Yep, that'll be cool. So, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We got Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us to start hour number two. We'll talk football, basketball, and a whole lot more.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get started in the second hour of the show, even though it's not an hour today. We did have a whole first hour, though, full 60 minutes of that. And if you missed it, go check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. Talked a lot of Auburn football, of course, with the coaching search still going on, the Iron Bowl approaching, and Auburn's blowout performance against Mercer. Talked all of that in hour number one. And so you can go and check that out at ESPNAU.com. A shortened show today, okay? We are on the air until about 5:35 or so, or not 5, 3:35 or so today. Okay, we're ending a little bit early. Then Auburn Women's Basketball is here, since ESPN 106.7 is the home of Auburn Women's Basketball on the radio with the Auburn Sports Network, as Britt Bowen will have the call as the Tigers take on UTSA. Broadcast time is 3:45. We'll have a quick break in between there, and then the game tips off at 4 o'clock for Auburn Women's Basketball against UTSA. So that's coming up here on ESPN 106.7 this afternoon. For those of you that are listeners of The Drive, coming up from 4 to 6, today only, we are moving The Drive over to Wings 94.3, okay? Wings 94.3 is the place to be later on this afternoon. The Drive from 4 to 6, then Tiger Talk from 6 to 7, and then Auburn Men's Basketball against Oregon out in Las Vegas in the Players Era Tournament. We will have that for you starting at 7 o'clock. All of that on Wings 94.3. But with our shortened show today, we wanted to make sure we got our typical Monday guest in. He's normally with us at 3:30. He's joining us just after the 3 o'clock hour with the Auburn Sports Network. Convenient we have him on now. Is Jacob Hillman joining us on the phone lines. My man, it's good to talk to you on this Monday, and I think you heard we pulled our best Jacob Hillman this weekend and actually hit the golf course for the first time in a while, so I know you'd be proud of that.
Well, I was. And I also just credit with that whole rundown of what's going on this week. I know the craziness of Thanksgiving and Iron Bowl and Feast Week and everything that goes into it. So great job by you guys at the Auburn Network adjusting and getting things done the way they should be, making sure we cover all of our bases. And like you said, it starts with Auburn women's basketball today. But, I mean, I heard you shot a pretty good score this weekend, so that's probably the most exciting part of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good for me. I said it in the first hour, it's a miracle what happens when you get off the tee box, you know what I mean? It just takes a couple of strokes off of each hole. And, look, you'll notice that we may or may not have sent you an invite for the golf this weekend, but that's because of all the invites you haven't sent us when you go golfing, so it really was just reciprocated.
That's pretty valid. I won't push back on that whatsoever. So,
Hillman, how many strokes are you giving Jacob in the battle of the Jacob 1v1 match?
Ooh.
Well, based off what I just heard, I don't think I have to give him as many as maybe I initially thought. But we can start with just we'd have to play one and then maybe play 36 one day, and that second 18 will be where we figure it out.
Well, you pick the day and the time and the course, and we'll make it happen, my friend. But it may not be anytime soon just because of everything going on around the sports world for Auburn. And we'll start with football and then move into basketball since the Tigers play out in Las Vegas tonight. Auburn looked pretty good on Saturday against Mercer Hillman. Deuce Knight, of course, the talk of the town with 6 total touchdowns, 4 on the ground, 2 through the air. Defense started a little slow, but they picked it up and pitched that shutout in the second half. What did you see from Auburn in their final tune-up game before the Iron Bowl this weekend?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a little bit of a slow start from the defense, and they really settled in and kind of shut down that Mercer offense that highly touted in the FCS and is going to be the 6th seed in the FCS playoffs coming up over the next couple of months. So, just impressive for them to really settle in, start to force some turnovers and kind of get in that mindset as you lead into this Iron Bowl, because I think that's going to be a big key this weekend, is trying to force the issue against Alabama and try and kind of turn the Crimson Tide over and those sort of things that they struggled with over the last couple of games. But going to the offensive side, obviously it was great to see the freshman Deuce Knight break out like that the way he did. I mean, the stat line he had going into that second quarter after his 4th touchdown run, where, I mean, he only had a few rushes, those 5 or 6 rushes for 4 touchdowns, whatever it was just an incredible stat line to look at. And he really continued to pad that performance with his passing that looked comfortable, and he looked like he belonged out there. And that was really great to see. Got those receivers the ball in open space, let them do what they do, and that's become a playmaker. And I was really impressed by that. Auburn didn't really need the backfield as in Jeremiah Cobb and others as much, but he still had a solid game and is approaching 1,000 yards for the season. Hopefully he breaks that mark here on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason that Knight won SEC Freshman of the Week, and he just looked like he belonged out there. And it was really, really impressive to see him especially on that first play, just break free and run all the way to the end zone. And that's just something that I feel like he didn't have in that first game against Ball State that he appeared in. He looked a little just hesitant, and he certainly was not that against Mercer on Saturday. So it's good to see that, and hopefully it continues moving forward.
Auburn puts up 38 points against Vanderbilt, 62 points against Mercer, 100 points on the dot over the last two games. We did some statistics before the show today and found out that you had to go back to the first half of South Alabama to prior to these last two games to combine Auburn's total points to 100. And so Derek Nix definitely has revived this offense. And talk about the confidence that the offense just as a whole brings, knowing that it can be Ashton Daniels, it can be Deuce Knight. The system feels like it's built for success in the overall quarterbacks, and how important that's going to be coming up on Saturday as you take on a really good secondary in Alabama.
That's a great point, because like you said, it's likely going to be Ashton Daniels on Saturday, and I would anticipate that just with the plan is in place. They wanted to preserve his red shirt this past weekend and get Knight and Arnold those valuable reps. They said they were going to play both of those guys against Mercer, and then it was going to be back to Ashton for the Iron Bowl. So now the question is whether or not how many opportunities Knight gets in that game against Alabama. We'll find out, and we'll see what the game plan looks like against that. But as you said, the offense as a whole is just looking like it's clicking and it's ready to go. I thought the offensive line has really progressed over the last few weeks, where it knows how important it is to run the football and just get penetration up front and kind of move that front seven that it's going up against. While I feel like there were times that in this Mercer game, it didn't look as good as it did against Vanderbilt, and that's why Jeremiah Cobb didn't quite have the game that we've become accustomed to. But I think that's less important, as you have a different style quarterback in, and things were a little bit different. So I think you go back to that style that you had against Vanderbilt. Obviously, it doesn't change the entire game plan. It's not like Derek Nix installed a new offense or anything like that. But you're obviously playing a little bit to Deuce's strength on Saturday versus with Ashton that's coming up on this upcoming Saturday, that you're going to go back more to that quick passing and run the ball down the opposition's throat like you did against Vanderbilt. So I really think that all clicks, and it opens up the passing game, as we saw against Vanderbilt and a little bit against Mercer. It's just those guys are really talented, and they've really had their moments in the last couple of games, especially Cam Coleman with those one-handed grabs against Vanderbilt. He had the touchdown grab against Mercer at the end of the half. Malcolm Simmons with the 90-yard touchdown, and Eric Singleton just continues to do what he does. That's what you catch in every game of his collegiate career. So excited to see what it looks like on Saturday. Obviously, I think that this offense wants to try and have the consistency it did against Vanderbilt a few weeks ago.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here on the Monday edition of On the Line, a shortened Monday show this afternoon. Again, we're off the air right around 3:36, as Auburn women's basketball will be on the airwaves here on ESPN starting at 3:45. And Hillman, it is the Iron Bowl this week. Of course, it's feast week for basketball. More on that in a moment. We've got, of course, rivalry week as well, as Auburn and Alabama will go to battle again. It's a night game inside of Jordan-Hare. First one in a long time. The last night game in the Iron Bowl was in Tuscaloosa. What are you looking forward to most, other than the game itself and maybe an Auburn win, just the Iron Bowl and the passionry and the rivalry that it is every single year?
Yeah, and it's the first night game in Jordan-Hare for an Iron Bowl since 2007, so very much a rarity. I think it's going to become more commonplace now with the new TV deal with Disney and ABC, and they value that primetime slot a little bit more. But regardless, it's going to be a special weekend. And give me the 22nd consecutive sellout for Auburn football. It's a chance to become bowl eligible. It's a chance to ruin Alabama's playoff hopes and crush those. And that's obviously both of those things combined really culminate into a huge atmosphere. And again, it's always a special, special week and a special Saturday when you get to host the Iron Bowl like Auburn does this weekend. And fortunately, it gets to happen every other year. And thanks to Pat Dye back in the 80s, fighting for that opportunity and making it happen in 1989 and continuing that. So that is true home and home, and you're not playing a fake home game up in Birmingham. But point being, I just think it's going to be a special atmosphere, as it has been really all year long, regardless of the results. And I think the biggest key here is for this Auburn team to come out, and it's important not to really, I feel like, to be too amped up, because there's a point where you don't want to be too amped up early in that game, and later in the game you become fatigued and things like that. It's going to be important for this team to control its emotions early on, and while you want to get off to a fast start and get a quick early lead, you don't want to do that at the cost of your potential late in the game.
And make sure you bring that beanie helmet. It's going to be chilly on Saturday night inside of Jordan Hare. The day for tailgating and things is going to be nice, but that temperature is going to drop Saturday night inside Jordan Hare. So we're looking forward to a really fun Iron Bowl on Saturday night inside of Jordan Hare. But before we get to that, it is Feast Week for college basketball, which you know this, and it's one of the best weeks of the year. And Auburn is out in Las Vegas with about 30 other basketball teams. I don't know where they're all staying, but I keep calling it the Players Era Tournament, but that's not really accurate. It's the Players Era Festival, since it's not your traditional bracket-style competition. But we do know that Auburn and head coach Stephen Pearl are taking on Oregon today, top 10 Michigan tomorrow, and then a possible game on Wednesday. So it should be a fun couple of days out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it's an important week for Auburn, I feel like, in the sense that, one, we don't know what Keyshawn Hall's status is, and he's a game-time decision tonight, and obviously if he were to go tonight or tomorrow, he's definitely not going to be at 100%. So this team is going to have to find other ways to score the basketball. And really, you go back to that Houston game a Sunday ago, and how if Keyshawn is available those last 4 minutes, you feel pretty comfortable that Auburn's probably going to find a way to win that game. So when you have that opportunity, either tonight or tomorrow or Wednesday, who knows, where – maybe you don't have Keyshawn Hall, or he's not quite at his 100% health, then who's the guy that's going to step up? We know Taha Pettiford can do it, especially away from home. You guys have had that discussion quite a bit, and it proves correct that he's going to be a guy away from home, especially. And then is it Keyshawn Murphy, or is Elijah Freeman step up? Who knows? And that's what this Auburn team has to learn over these next few days in Las Vegas against some of the best competition you're going to play. Tonight's a tough matchup with Oregon. This team is the defending Players Era champions and had a good season last year, making it deep into the NCAA tournament and return some guys and add some guys like Nate Biddle. That's going to be a great challenge for Keyshawn Murphy and the other big men in the front court for Auburn. And then Jackson Shellstad, he's going to be a really big time performer for Oregon in the backcourt. And I think Taha Pettiford's toughest challenge defensively, where he's going to really have to lock in there and not let Shellstad really play make and penetrate the front court. But it's going to be important for this Auburn team to have a successful week. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a 2-0 week, but you get a win here tonight against Oregon. You play tight against Michigan and then get another win on Wednesday or Thursday. Then you're going to feel pretty good going into that NC State-Arizona stretch where things get different, where you're actually playing at home and then you're going on the road to Arizona, kind of like conference play will be in January, February, and March. So excited for it because this is a new style. Like you said, it's not a tournament. It's not bracket style. So we don't even know who Auburn could play on Wednesday. I know there's a possibility, I guess, technically, that Auburn and Alabama or Tennessee could play. Who knows? We'll have to find out and see how it all pans out. But it's decided by points differential, points scored, points against. It's a wild format. I think they're going to sort that out. So Auburn's going to be in this championship for 3 straight years. So next year, there's going to be 32 teams in it, and I think it'll be a little bit more sorted out by then.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on this Monday afternoon. A few minutes before we normally do, we get a shortened show today, but we're glad to get him on and talk about all the crazy things going on around Auburn Athletics. My man, we appreciate your time. Plug it all one more time. Tell people what they need to know. We're informing them on the craziness of today, but at least the rest of the week for what the people need to know.
Yeah, and just a quick rundown of what you mentioned today. Women's basketball against UTSA at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.7. Tiger Talk will be at 6 o'clock as Brad Law will host that solo with DJ Durkin, as well as Ashton Daniels and Robert Woodyard. They'll join the show leading into the men's basketball broadcast against Oregon with Andy Burcham. Randall Dickey will call the action from Las Vegas. I'll man the studio. That starts at 7 o'clock immediately following Tiger Talk. And then, as we talked about, Michigan tomorrow, Auburn and Michigan in basketball in the Players Area Championship. 7 o'clock airtime, 7:30 tip-off on Wings 94.3 FM. And then the TBD game will be on Wednesday or Thursday. Women's basketball will play again against Cal at 6:30 on Wednesday. And then it all comes down to Saturday in the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. 6:30 kickoff, 3:30 airtime for the Tiger Tailgate Show. You don't want to miss any of it. And make sure you follow us on social media at AU Sports Network for all the broadcast details.
Hillman, appreciate the time as always, my man. Enjoy the week. Have a good broadcast with the guys tonight. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, my friend. We'll talk to you after the Iron Bowl come on Monday.
That's right. Appreciate you guys as always. Very thankful for you guys and all of your listeners. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. So nice on the way out is Jacob Hillman. Good buddy of ours, a guy that I was in college with, right? I mean, it went through student radio with him and always enjoy talking with him and glad that he is a part of our show. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll have two more segments before we get out of here. Then we'll hand it off to Britt Bowen for Auburn Women's Basketball. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us every Monday like he does, but just moved him up about 30 minutes since we are done with our show in about 13 minutes or so. We'll go off the air, and we'll hand it off to Britt Bowen at Auburn Women's Basketball. He is on location as the Lady Tigers taking on UTSA. Are they the Lady Roadrunners? Do they go by that? The UTSA Lady Roadrunners? That's a mouthful.
That might be our trivia question that we ask Britt Bowen. I will get you confirmation.
I mean, I guess we'll have to. I guess you'll just have to listen and see as they go on the air. 3:45 for pregame and tip-off set for 4 o'clock between Auburn and UTSA and the women's basketball side of things. That is here on ESPN 106.7. Reminder that the drive today and today only with Bill Cameron. Gonna be on Wings 94.3 next door, okay? Same time, same length, same show, just on a different station for today. Wings 94.3 for the drive from 4 to 6. That will lead you into Tiger Talk from 6 to 7. That leads you in to Auburn men's basketball against the Oregon Ducks out in Las Vegas. And so we have another segment and a half, I guess. And we were talking with Hillman there about basketball, and let's talk basketball a little bit, my friend, as the Players Era Tournament kicks off today, as is the Maui Invitational. We've got it on as NC State, man. They've just got knocked around by this Seton Hall team pretty much the entire time we've been watching it. They're still down by 15 with like 4.5 minutes to play there in Maui. But we were talking before the show, right? The Maui Invitational is awesome. I mean, it has been the premier Feast Week tournament for years. Auburn's been in it several times. Auburn won it a couple of years ago. But this Players Era tournament, or Players Era Festival is what it's called, that has just overshadowed everything.
I mean, and understandably so. I mean, when you're talking about a $1 million grand prize towards your NIL pool for the winning team, You love the idea of tradition, and the Maui Invitational is historically, you feel like, the best that it can get of Feast Week. And again, Auburn leading that charge last year, winning the whole thing. But yeah, right now, you had to remind yourself that the Maui Invitational was going on this week just because of the talent and the teams that are have already taken the floor, are about to take the floor, and will take the floor. All of today, all of tomorrow, you then have consolation games earlier in the day on Wednesday. You then have your final four, essentially the third place game and the championship game on Wednesday night. And so Auburn obviously knows their first two opponents with Oregon tonight, Michigan tomorrow night. But you want to win both of those games and then hope that, again, the weird style tournament, not quite a round robin and not a bracket. It's all about winning, but then winning margin, points scored, points allowed, things like that to determine who's going to play in that championship game for $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, this is you pull up the – I don't even know what you call this. It's not a bracket. I don't know.
It's just a slate.
A slate, a yeah. rundown, a schedule, I guess, to where, yeah, you play today and you play tomorrow. And then, as Christian mentioned, Wednesday, there's a consolation game at 10 a.m., a consolation game at 12:30, a third-place game at 4 o'clock. The men's championship is 6:30 on Wednesday, and then another consolation game at 9.
I believe the 6:30 game is the third-place game, the 9 o'clock game is the championship.
I'm looking on their website. 6:30 p.m., it's in gold. It says men's championship.
Oh. Oh, so the third place game is it?
The third place game is before the championship game.
Interesting. Okay.
And then on Thursday, there's a consolation game at 11, consolation game at 1:30, the women's championship, because, yeah, there's women's games going on out there too, and then the women's third place game is at 7:30. So.
And there's also high school games that are going on the 28th and the 29th, which is really cool. You're seeing Oak Hill, one of the more decorated high school teams. You have Iowa United in there as well, and a couple really, really cool teams. So a cool event in general, but it is a little bit unfortunate that it takes away a little bit of the action from whether that's Maui, whether that's the Paradise Jam in the Virgin Islands. I mean, this is the best regular season week of college basketball.
And just a reminder, here's a list of the teams that are competing in this thing, okay? Rutgers, Tennessee just smacked Rutgers today. That was bad.
It was gross.
That Bruce Pearl predicted that, by the way.
Kansas is out in front 39-32 with 20 seconds left at the 12:30 game as well.
Against Notre Dame. Houston and Syracuse play. You have Gonzaga and Alabama. You have Maryland and UNLV. Of course, Auburn and Oregon. Michigan, San Diego State. Iowa State, Creighton, St. John's, Baylor. I mean, those teams are just absolutely stacked. Again, the game's coming up throughout the rest of the day today. You have a top 15 matchup between Iowa State and St. John's. You have Syracuse and Houston at 5 o'clock. That's Central Time. You've got Auburn and Oregon tonight, of course. You have Alabama plays late tonight, don't they? Alabama, yeah, they play Gonzaga tonight. Gonzaga, Alabama's 8:30 tonight on TNT.
It's the late game tonight, but then it's even later tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they play UNLV.
They play
tomorrow.
The 9 o'clock game tomorrow. Yeah, UNLV, a home game.
Gross. In the Maui Invitational, you've got Arizona State and Texas tonight. That'll be fun. God, that's at 10:30 tonight. Guess who won't be staying up for that one? Me. Guess who also won't be staying up for UNLV and Maryland? That tips off at 10:59 p.m. Central Time. I will not be staying up for that one either. But if you want to be a crackhead and do so, you got plenty of basketball. We'll talk more about it with a quick segment right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We normally have 30 more minutes left in the Monday edition of On the Line, but instead of 30 minutes, we have about 3. And so we're ending early today, as we've told you throughout today's show. Ending early with Auburn women's basketball coming up as the Tigers are taking on UTSA. Our buddy Britt Bowen of the Auburn Sports Network will have the broadcast for you here on the home of Auburn women's basketball, ESPN 106.7. Our own Christian Griffin will be in the studio for Koneka Halftime, so be sure you tune in for that. He'll have a few segments there. He'll be running the broadcast from here in the studio. So we're about to toss it out there in just a couple of minutes, and looking forward to that. Again, the drive today from 4 to 6 over on Wings 94.3. So if you're looking for more sports talk, you'll have that on Wings 94.3 starting at 4 o'clock up until 6. Busy night on Wings, okay? The drive from 4 to 6. Then we'll have Tiger Talk from 6 to 7, and then that'll lead right into the Auburn men's basketball broadcast with Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey, live from Las Vegas, taking on the Oregon Ducks. That is tonight on Wings, ESPN 106.7. Our show is about to wrap up here in the next couple of minutes, and then we will have a commercial break, and then we'll toss it out to Britt Bowen against UTSA for Auburn women's basketball. Coming up tomorrow, okay? I hope you like Jacob and Christian, because you're going to get 4 hours of it tomorrow, okay? The Drive guys are unable to be here. Dan Peck's in Las Vegas, by the way, which is really cool. He's out there for Troy women's basketball, but he's also pulling double duty and covering some of the Auburn men's games. And so we are filling in for him and Bill, who can't be here tomorrow. So we'll have On the Line from 2 to 4. And then we'll have the Drive from 4 to 6, and it's going to be us. So get ready. If you like us, you're in for a real treat. If you don't, sorry about it.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, just don't say it to our face. We'll be on the air for 4 hours tomorrow. Okay, Doug is back tomorrow as well. So that is what that looks like. Wednesday, Thursday, okay, for Thanksgiving week. No shows. No shows. No Max Roundtable. No On the Line. No The Drive. Nothing on Wednesday. Nothing on Thursday. We are all here on Friday, okay? Here on Friday, talking the Iron Bowl. We'll talk a lot about it tomorrow. A lot of our guests are on tomorrow. More guests on Friday. Also, fun fact, we're on location on Friday. On the Line and The Drive, going out to a place we went one time, and we're excited to go back out again to Rally House in Tigertown. So come on out with us on Friday, Black Friday. We know you're going to be out doing your shopping. You may as well stop at Rally House and pick up some last-minute Christmas gifts as well. You can do so. Come see us at Rally House in Tigertown. That's going to be on Friday for On the Line and The Drive. And so looking forward to that. But, yeah, a busy night across our family radio station starts coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
Your final thoughts, Auburn and Oregon. Auburn jumped a spot up to 21st in the AP poll, 4-1, taking on the undefeated Oregon Ducks, who feel like they play a very different style of basketball than Auburn does. You feel like Auburn initially has the more athletic guards. Oregon uses their two bigs, their two trees, and expect to dominate the rebounding. But your thoughts on Auburn and Oregon?
Yeah, it should be a fun game tonight. Again, that game gets going about 7 o'clock tonight over on Wings 94.3, part of the Players Era Festival. I think Auburn wins. I think they end up winning comfortably. That Oregon team has struggled out of the gate. I think Auburn's athleticism and shooting will get them through the Ducks tonight. Give me Auburn to win. I'll say 84-72.
Auburn, a 3.5-point favorite. Keyshawn Hall, a game-time decision.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. I want to see him play, but if he doesn't, I'm fascinated to see how Auburn looks without him for a couple of games. So that's coming up tonight. Again, The Drive is coming up on Wings 94.3 in about 20 minutes. Stick around. Auburn women's basketball versus UTSA. Britt Bowen with the call. That's coming up next here on ESPN 106.7. We're back tomorrow, normal time, 2 to 4. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.